The second reading today, St. Paul talks about how God did not desire the sacrifices and offerings anymore that were offered according to the law. But instead he says, you gave me a body. You stop and say, what does that mean? Well, by nature, of course, Jesus being God doesn't have a body. God is pure spirit. And so he took a body to himself precisely so that he could offer it in sacrifice. Now you say, wait a second, didn't it say sacrifice and offering you did not desire? It's true. So what does this mean? Well, as St. Paul points out, the sacrifices and offerings and holocausts and sin offerings are offered according to the law. But, he says, I come to do your will. In other words, we can look at it and say, well, if something is according to the law, it's easy for us just to go through the motions. This is what we have to do. This is what the law says. Question is, are we doing it because we love God? Or are we doing it because it's what's required? We can even ask that of ourselves right now. Why am I at Mass? Is it because I have to be, because the church says that I have to be, because the third commandment says that I have to be? Or is it because I love the Lord? If we're doing it just because of the law, it's a good thing. It's the right thing to do. But the motive isn't what it ought to be. What God wants is for us to love him. And so that's exactly what we see in what is going on today. In the readings, everything is contrary to the law. It doesn't oppose the law in any way, but it's outside of the law. You think about all that we heard in the readings today. We hear, for instance, in the first reading, about how Bethlehem Ephrata is going to be the place where the Messiah is going to be born. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be born in a little tiny place that is so small that it can't even be counted among the clans of Judah. It's not what would naturally be the case. We hear about our Blessed Lady going to visit Elizabeth, a woman who we are told is beyond the age where she would be able to give birth. And here she is with child. We hear about the fact that Elizabeth recognizes that the child in Our Lady's womb is God. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It is not natural that God would have a mother. It is not natural that a virgin would have a baby. It is not natural that an elderly woman would be with child. And all of these things are happening because of love, not because of the law, because of love. These were all people who came to do the will of God. And even the other two that we hear about in the readings today, the two little babies. We look at what St. John the Baptist did, and it certainly wasn't normal or typical or according to the law. All you have to do is ask yourself, what would we do today? If there was somebody running around in camel's hair, eating grasshoppers, and telling us we had to repent, we'd lock him up. We'd say this guy is mentally ill, and we would pay no attention to him. He's the greatest man born of woman, and we would think he was mentally ill. You see, if we operate according to the typical laws of nature, we're going to miss what God is doing. Because what God is doing is done out of love. And so it goes beyond what is natural. Obviously, God works within nature, and he works within the parameters of what is natural. But we see in all of these things today that God is going to work too in extraordinary ways. He does that, obviously, to get our attention. But we have to be able to see then, not only in some of these extraordinary people like our Blessed Lady and our Blessed Lord, like St. John the Baptist and St. Elizabeth, it's not just in extraordinary people that God works in extraordinary ways. He will do the same in our lives as well. And the reason is the same. It's because he loves you. That's what it's all about. Love doesn't always follow what is the law. Love is far greater than the law. In fact, as St. Paul tells us, that if we love our neighbor, that encompasses everything in the law. And St. Augustine would even go further than that and says, love and do what you will. Because love never wrongs the neighbor. And so love is going to follow what the law requires, but for a whole different reason. It's not just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Love does the right thing because it's what's best for the other. Love always seeks the good of the other. And therefore, it always places itself at the service of another to build the other up. That's what God does for us, always. God is love. There is nothing else he can do. So he is there 24 hours a day serving us. So much so that out of love for us, he would actually become one of us. That's exactly what we're looking at. That's what the readings are telling us today. That's what we're going to be celebrating in a particular way in a week. The birth of our Blessed Lord. He who is God, he who is the second person of the Trinity, who took a human nature to himself so that he could offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. That is not the kind of sacrifice and offering that was required by the law. That is a sacrifice and an offering that is offered according to charity, to pure love. And so God asks us then to do something similar, not to die necessarily, but to die to self, to be able to seek the good of others, to practice that kind of love. That's the love of God and love of neighbor. So as we prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas and we think about what a little baby is all about, babies are all about love. Jesus is love incarnate. God is love. Love took a body to himself so that he could show us in a human way what love really means. And so we can look to that. Love draws us to itself, which is why he came as a baby. Who of us can resist a baby? They're little magnets. They draw us to themselves. Thanks be to God. They're so beautiful, and all they do is it's just all about love. And we can all love a baby because we aren't afraid of the baby. That's what God is trying to show us. We don't need to be afraid of him. We need to love him. And he loves us. So he wants us to come to him He wants us to be able to love him. But before we can do that, we have to believe that he loves us. It's one of our problems in our humanness is that we don't believe that God loves us. We think we are so rotten and so worthless and so much garbage that there is no way that God or anyone else, for that matter, can really love us because we're just really bad. Those are lies of Satan. That is not the truth of God. And we need to reject the vile creature's lies because it's what they are. They're lies. You're made for the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. We need to reject Satan's lies outright. And so we have to always ask ourselves, how do I know that God loves me? Well, he said he does. God can't lie. But we still look at it and go, yeah, words are cheap. So he said, fine, I'll prove it to you. What do you need to have someone prove that they love you? How can someone prove it? No matter what it is that somebody would try to do to prove it, we would come up with another excuse as to, well, yeah, that was really nice, but do you love me 100%? In order for someone to love us 100%, they would actually have to die for us. And then, of course, we're left with the quandary of looking at it and saying, well, yeah, that person really did love me 100%, but now they're dead. Well, I'll see if somebody else loves me. Nice thing about Jesus is he rose from the dead. So now we can look at it and say, he loves me 100%. He took my nature to himself so that he could die, so that he could prove how much he loves me. And he lives. So we can still have that relationship with him, with the absolute knowledge that he loves us 100%. Now, how much do we love him? Is it 100%? That's what he's looking for. Isn't that what he told us? The greatest commandments, love God with your whole heart and soul and strength. That's 100%. That's what he did for us. So he's not asking anything of us that he wasn't willing to do himself. But you notice again what St. Paul talks about. It is the will. Okay, by this will, behold, I come to do your will. It is with our will that we make a choice. It is in our will that we love. So again, this isn't according to the law. Isn't it interesting that our Lord would say the greatest law is to love? It's not love if it's forced. It's not love if it's required. It's love only if it's chosen. So we have to choose to love God. We have to use our will to choose to do God's will. Remember, God only wills what is best. God never wants second best for you. He only wants the very best. So if we are willing to say that, yes, I will choose to love God, I will choose to do the will of God, then that's to choose to do what's the best. And that's what we're created for. That's what's going to set us free. So as we prepare now in this last week before Christmas, there are lots of people who their preparations are all about presents and decorations and all these kinds of things. And that's all nice, that's fine. But how much are we preparing to receive Jesus? How much are we preparing to love Jesus? Jesus doesn't care about the presents and the lights. He cares about our hearts. He cares about our souls. Is that what we're preparing for. What's Christmas really all about? It's about a baby in Bethlehem who is God, who loves us, and became one of us because he loves us, in order to sacrifice himself to prove how much he loves us, so that we can receive his love and love him in return. That's what it's all about. And so we've got 1 week remaining to prepare our hearts for that, to receive his love and to love him. That supersedes the law. There is no law that can require us to love, because love is a free choice. That's a choice that each one of us has to make. God made his choice. He chose to love. And he chose to become one of us to prove that love. Now we have to make a choice to receive his love and a choice to love him in return. So when we look at those extraordinary people we heard about in the readings today, you then have to look at what God is doing. He's looking at you and he sees you as an extraordinary person, because he made you to love and he made you to be loved. And that's all that he wants for you. Just like the people that we heard in the readings today. That's what St. Paul is getting at. It's not about the sacrifices and the offerings. It's not about going through the motions. It's not about just doing it because this is what we have to do. It's about loving God and receiving the love of God. And so in this last week, now again of Advent, look deeply into your hearts and ask yourself honestly, what is this all about for me? Is it about external things like presents and lights? Or are those just external reflections of what's really in my heart? Is it about just going through the motions because it's what I'm supposed to do? Or is it learning from Jesus, from Mary, from Elizabeth, from John the Baptist, from all these other extraordinary people, that God will take even little things like you and me, like Bethlehem, and raise us up to do extraordinary things in ordinary people? The most extraordinary thing is the love of God in our hearts. That's what Christmas is all about. So prepare now in this last week. You can prepare your home, you can prepare all that other stuff, that's all fine. But prepare your hearts to be able to love and to receive the love of God, the greatest gift of Christmas.